Hey everyone, this is Jess and you're listening to the Hey Sober Vegan podcast, the show that explores the intersection of sobriety and veganism through engaging discussions with thought leaders and brands. You'll hear stories of transformation and be inspired by new perspectives. Thank you for being part of our supportive community. We hope we can help you to discover how you can lead a more mindful life. I am super appreciative to you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Wherever that may be, whether you are driving, cleaning the house, walking your dog, or maybe you're even getting active. Please don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so that you never miss an episode. And hopefully you have enjoyed the podcast thus far. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes as it really helps to spread the positivity even further. The one thing that I'll never stop talking about in my sobriety journey, but what has absolutely revolutionized the way that we socialize, is non-alcoholic drinks. There is one brand in particular that I've been a massive fan of for the last year or so since they launched. Founded by a powerhouse couple from the sandy beaches of Bondi, who saw a gap in the market for a tasty, fancy, but also healthy option to feel socially included and most importantly, skip the almighty hangover the next day. Because let's be honest, the more precious your time becomes, the less you want to spend it hungover on a Sunday morning. I'm super proud to announce that we are partnering with Yes You Can Drinks, non-alcoholic cocktails who are literally taking the piss out of drinking. We've teamed up with them to offer our listeners a massive 20% off their range online. You can use the code SOBERVEGAN20, that's SOBERVEGAN20, at yesyoucandrinks.com. Now you can enjoy your favorite drinks without the alcohol. And now for today's podcast. Today, I'm excited to have a very special guest who is an accredited nutritionist and an expert in plant-based nutrition. She's been living a plant-based lifestyle for 5 years alongside her partner, who are better known as Plant-Based Online. Through her work, she has created a non-judgmental community that inspires others to embark on their own journey towards healthy eating. So whether you're a seasoned plant-based eater or just curious about the benefits of this lifestyle, you're in the right place. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. So nice to see you.
Yeah, so great to see you too. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are?
Absolutely. So I'm Sarah. I'm a plant-based nutritionist. When I studied nutrition, it was actually quite interesting. The whole plant-based movement was not as big as it is now. And yeah. I remember from the beginning, my teachers being like, you're going to need to expand outside of the plant-based world to, you know, make a living. And look at us now. It's so beautiful and it sprang so big and everyone, it's become a little bit of a mainstream at least diet and movement. And totally. So, yeah, that's pretty much what we do. We just help people eating more plants. Mm-hmm. So we don't label ourselves as vegan as much, although we are vegan for ethical reason. But we just provide really easy and healthy recipes that happens to taste really, really good. And secondary are made out of plants, you know. Mm. We just to keep it easy for everyone. Yeah. So we do that through video and we are on about 7 different platforms at the moment and different communities. And yeah, so that keeps us really busy.
That's amazing. I feel like the last year you have just exploded and your work is incredible. Everybody is listening. You should go and check out Sarah at Plant-Based on all of the social platforms. But I think something you do so well and I think which initially drew me to you as well was just the quality of the food that you create and the imagery. You can almost taste it. Like you see the videos and you see the recipes and you're like, damn, like this is really fun and creative and nice. Why wouldn't I try this?
I really cannot take all the credit. My partner Cam is doing all the video and editing and he's so talented. So all I do is make the food and he makes everything so it looks amazing, you know.
You're just the star of the show.
I am very, very lucky. Honestly, I speak with like so many people in this recipe creation scene.
Yeah.
And they do everything by themselves. And there is two of us full time. And even with 10 hours a day, we're barely making it to the end, you know? So that's massive respect for,
That's huge.
Like, I'm very lucky. I know it.
I mean, I can relate to that, right? Like, I feel like there's been so many times I'm like, oh, I'm trying to do this video, but like, I can't work out how to do this. It'd be so nice if my partner just knew how to do it. You know, or, can you take this photo for me? Oh, that's not the right way. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to figure it out.
He is like the perfect Instagram husband, you know, like he's a whole package.
So good. And so you touched on something really nice there as well, which is like the plants first, kind of vegan second portion. And I've seen that come up more and more over the years. So I feel like our vegan or plant-based journey is quite similar. Like your 5 years, we're just almost 7 years now. And I think it's so important. Like we kind of share that as well. Vegan almost, I think, has like a stigma around it, right? Or the word is quite like loaded. Whereas when you talk about plants, do you find it helps you just focus kind of on the food, or like how do you kind of explain that to people in that sense?
Look, I think there is other people that do a much better job than me at explaining the ethical reason or the science behind it. So anybody that has any ethical reason, ethical question, go listen to Earthling Ads. Anybody that wants to know the exact science behind it, go listen to Simon from The Proof. Mm. If you want to know how to make it in your day-to-day life, then I'm your girl.
Yeah.
You know? It's what you see. Like, I think the word vegan has a little bit of sometimes a negative connotation, which is really a shame. And it doesn't have a negative one for me because I really like, it's a whole package, you know, but for many people that are exterior of this whole little bubble we are in, especially I know you're in the eastern suburb, like we're in Sydney, it just became so normalized that we forgot, I think, what it's like out there. And after spending a few months back in France this year, the rest of the world it's getting there, but it's not catch up yet, you know, like it's still a few years behind. And if I'm just telling everyone, all right, let's make a massive vegan dinner. And I don't know, like just like the whole thing.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of apprehension about coming over. But if I'm like, hey guys, I just made dinner.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Let's take it. Anything and it's just good, you know?
Yeah. I think it's similar. Go ahead.
No, I feel like I went through it in my own form of activism myself at the beginning I've been a vegetarian for almost 10 years. And at the beginning, when I went from vegetarian to vegan, I went through a little bit of an angry phase where I just wanted everybody to watch Earthlings with me, you know?
Yeah, I
let my friends sit down and watch Earthlings with me, and honestly, it didn't bring much results, you know.
Yeah.
But then I've noticed by making food for everyone, little by little, they started asking me for recipes, and then they started doing things, and now you know. We've posted a cauliflower recipe a few days last week, and both my mother and my mother-in-law have messaged me with pictures. They both done it on the same time, which is like adorable.
Oh, that's so nice.
We just make really good food that happens to be made out of plants.
Totally.
It works.
And like showing love through your plate, right? Like you're just wanting to kind of educate and support and help others kind of love their bodies, right? But also love the planet. So it's kind of shifting the focus into
100%
creativity.
And I take it for me, it's really important. It's like a big deal. Like, look, for you and me, it might be quite easy to go to Harris Farm and grab some specific ingredients and then have fun, like dedicate an hour to try a new recipe or anything. But if you're like a full-time working mom and you have like two kids, you're coming back home, you need to get ingredients. Like just the fact getting into the supermarket and not knowing where to pick the ingredients and where to do it. You know, there's a little bit of like a culinary literacy that goes like it's, it's draining to try like everything. So when I'm making a recipe, it's really, really important for me. First, I calculate all the nutritional information. So I know it's going to be balanced. It's going to be like really good. You're going to feel amazing. You're going to feel full, satisfied. You have healthy fats, fiber, protein. You know, I don't want people to like, maybe this is the first plant-based healthy recipe they try and then they turned off for it. You know? But I'm also really conscious that there is a lot of noise out there around nutrition and different diets. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't talk about it as much on my page, I do the work. So when you just have to like put it on the plate, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't take all the credit for that. You know, if we're going to talk about partners and credit, Richard, who is my partner, he's very much the recipe minded, like wise person in our relationship. He's kind of, I think, more similar to you in the sense that he picks up like, you know, five vegetables and tofu and he's like, great, we can make stir fry and it will be ready in 15 minutes. Whereas I'm definitely more like the, okay, like this is the recipe, go and do the shop. Okay. And then this is the steps and kind of follow it along.
That's amazing. It's great that you're both cooking.
Yeah. And it's a good way to kind of come together. Right. So cool. Well, I mean, you briefly touched on your vegan journey there, but did you want to perhaps like share with us? I'm curious to know, like, how did you find plants? How did you find vegetarianism? Tell us a bit about your story there.
I think you're going to like how I actually went vegetarian because it's touching on both sobriety and veganism. So I actually grew up in the south of France, so in a small town. There were maybe one family of vegetarian and they were even more hippies than my parents, which says a lot. One day I'll tell you about my parents. But so like, you know, it was not a thing at all. And when I went to uni in town, like a couple hours away, and one night I came back from the club around 3 a.m., which is quite early for Europe. And wow. I opened my computer, went on Facebook, as you did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I actually saw a slaughterhouse video. And that was like from the brand. It's a brand. That is like the good one in France. Like it was not, like you didn't even have the excuse of like, that's like the cheaper meat. Mm-hmm. Like it's the one I used to have, like that was meant to be like good. And I was traumatized. And it's like the first time I ever put two and two together. I haven't even thought about it. And so I think it was around 3 a.m. and it was bright daytime when I turned off my computer and went to bed because I spent the next few hours reading blogs and watching YouTube videos and being absolutely horrified. And then in the morning when I got up, I just called my bestie and I gave him the meat I had in my fridge. And I was like, I'm out. I am done. Like this is, I'm not like, yeah, never had meat again from there. But that didn't really spark any other interest, if I might say, in the fishing industry, the egg industry, or any of this. It was already extremely out there for my area and where I was, you know, to just not eat meat. Totally. And that was enough for me at the time.
Yeah.
And then I spent a little bit of time in Bali and ended up in Sydney. And then it's a lot more accepted there, you know?
Yeah, Bali especially. It's like every second cafes like has vegan options, right? It's kind of odd. I think it's more odd there to have, yeah, like full meat. I feel like everywhere you go in Bali, there's always a vegan option.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like tempeh and tofu, those were not ingredients I was familiar with, you know, like I maybe have had like tofu once in my life before. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then I arrived in Sydney and just it's all, you know, people you meet and just, I guess it's a different vibe. And I started coming across Earthlings Ed's content.
Yeah. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's-
then, Yeah, pretty much. Look, it was there then is my father got sick and unfortunately passed away. So we were in France for a while. And when we came back here, that just sparked like a huge shift in health for Cameron and I. And it was like, okay, there's just like no more finding excuses. So Cam went completely vegan from one night to the other. Wow. And yeah, so that was like almost 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've just like really embraced the journey. And because I'm a little bit stubborn, I decided to go study nutrition because I wanted to prove that I was right.
I love that.
I'm a lot more nuanced about everything now. But yeah, this is how we ended up being both fully vegan.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear about your father. That must have been a difficult time. And it's, I think I can relate to that on some level. I had a family member pass away for me as well. And I talk about this in my vegan story in another episode, but I think there's something about that kind of sparks. I mean, for me, it definitely did. It sparks like this, you kind of think about your life, right? Like you kind of see your life for what it is, and it makes you rethink the way you do things and whether you can do things differently and where your values fall and
align.
Lifestyle and diet tends to fall into that as well.
I'm sorry to hear for you as well, but I think you're really spot on here when you're talking about values. It makes you rethink how you live your life and is it aligned with who you want to be and what do you actually believe? What do you stand for? I feel like before that, I might have been a little bit into like an autopilot and just letting things go by. And yeah, then it's just questioning, you know, what do you stand for? What do you want to do? Are you satisfied with your job, with your life, with your health? Like, are you living to your full potential? It's quite short. We don't know when it ends. You always think there's tomorrow, there's another time. And there's something to be said to feeling completely aligned with what you actually deep down believe.
Yeah.
And that's something I think is not really talked about as much in the veganism scene. But for me, it was huge on a mental health level. Mm-hmm. It's just like, suddenly it clicked, you know, it's like, there was something I was not super comfortable with this entire time, you know, and it was there and now it's not there anymore.
I think it's called cognitive dissonance, right? When you, when your morals or your values are misaligned with kind of what your actions are and you just live your life because that's how you live your life. And maybe not till you get to old age do you see it as something that should change or something that could be a problem for you as well. Yeah. And so let's dig deeper a little bit if we can, just for a second here, in terms of the you went vegetarian first, you said. So that was 10 years ago during this time you went vego. And then kind of how did you find the vegan? Like, how did you find the dairy? Like, was there another video that came up or was it simply just, documentaries or books or whatnot?
I think they were like, what was that documentary? Cowspiracy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Cowspiracy. And honestly, like, Earthling ads, I just love, like, that's like back in the day when you was like debating people.
Yes.
And it was just like, I was just like, you know, really eyes opening. And I think we're happy to not know a lot of things, but at some point when you look into it,
totally.
It felt like a certain hypocrisy to still
do it,
to know so much and not keep up. But saying that, I really think that the journey and the moment was right for me. And as I said, it took me 5 years to get there from the moment that I started looking into it to the moment I actually went vegan. And I do think there is no place for Puritanism to be really strict, like a strict notion, if we really want this to be opened and as mainstream as it can be.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are trying. It's I don't think it's as easy as we always say it is.
No, you know? Definitely not. I really it doesn't happen overnight, right? Yeah, it's a step by step. You kind of slowly introduce new foods or new brands, and you try new things when you go out. And then, yeah, you look back and you're like, okay, that took us 5 years, or that took us 2 years, and here we are now. Yeah.
And it's, you know, like everyone has different circumstances as well. And I'm quite aware that for me, it was an easy decision living by myself with my partner. We went for it together. Mm. And I really admire anybody that is just trying as much as they can in their circumstances. So if that means like starting just one plant-based brekkie, and, you know, committing to that and then adding maybe a snack and, you know, little by little, you can build up from it. Yep. There's no rules, really. There's no need to make it happen overnight or to have it 100%.
That's a great way to talk about it, right? And I think I see we always see our privilege in that as well. As a couple, you just say, okay, we're going to try this thing and we're going to do it together. You have someone to keep you accountable, someone to try things with. It kind of takes the pressure off.
Exactly. So
definitely shout out to anybody who's listening and you want to make the change. Just start small. Just start watching Sarah's videos and I'm sure you'll be inspired.
Honestly, my favorite, you're so sweet. My favorite thing is just like to get started with breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I really think how you spend your morning sets up the tone for the rest of the day. Right? I'm like really big on morning routine, still haven't mastered it. I have like post-it everywhere to try to remind myself what I need to do to feel my best. But yeah, like get start with the morning because you have more. You don't have decision fatigue in the morning. You haven't been drained by the day. You're a lot more likely to stick into it. Mm-hmm. So if anybody that's listening want to do a little something to be a little bit healthier or a little bit on the plant-based journey, start with the morning. Mm-hmm. Get breakfast, get yourself some overnight oats, meal prep them, or something I love to do, like my go-to for anyone is like a smoothie, because most of us like a smoothie. It's not hard to change your milk with a soy milk. Mm. And my favorite thing is to prepare all of your smoothie ingredients in advance in like this little silicone bag, keep them in the freezer. So in the morning, you chuck that in your blender, add your soy milk, and you're done. It's taken you 45 seconds, you know?
Huge.
And so like that.
I like it. Yeah. I was going to ask you if you have a favorite recipe that, you know, if you were getting started going more plant-based that you'd recommend. Is there a smoothie recipe or a brekkie recipe that you'd choose?
Look, I'm really big on overnight oats because they are so easy to make and you can just like make them in those cute jars and
which got that great recipe with the blueberries. Right. Yeah.
Just like so easy. I have a carrot cake overnight oat recipe, which is so delicious. And yeah, it's something you'll be excited to like have in the morning.
Yeah.
It's a good one to get started.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like I have to check that one out. I haven't tried carrot cake overnight oats. That's a good little twist. Well, I guess we've spoken a lot about veganism and mindful living or plant-based eating. And I recall during last year, I think we briefly spoke about sobriety, right? And sober curiosity. And it's interesting. I think the journeys are quite similar. Like I've spoken to a few people and they say, oh, kind of once you start going vegan, you start to think about like what you're putting in your body. Like you said, the nutrition aspect comes into it and whether that's wholesome and contributing to you or not. So I know that you had a bit of a sober curiosity journey. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that today?
Sure. Look, it's still something I'm learning to navigate. So I'm definitely like, I can tell you about recipes and everything. Like I know about that. I feel like I've got that.
Yeah.
Sobriety is something I'm still navigating. Okay, this is the first time I'm talking about this to someone that's not a really close friend. So this is a feeling.
If you feel comfortable. Yeah, if you feel comfortable sharing. It's a safe space. So.
So I used to party a lot. Let's just say to that. I used to party a lot. And at some point, I used to drink a lot. And at some point, I realized it just didn't serve me anymore. It started by a dry July. And I remember being like absolutely mind blown. We don't do that in France, by the way. There's no like dry July, dry Jan, no. Like things like that. It's not a thing. Yeah.
It's like in Czech. Yeah. I think we could kind of relate together on the European aspect, right? Like in Czech, you say you're not drinking. You're like, what are you talking about? Like.
It is strange. It's let me tell you, it is not like here over there. I went this summer. There's no like liars martini at every restaurant and things. It's not like that. But yeah, I did a dry July, and I remember I used to work in a bar back then and telling my boss, is like, why has nobody told me it's like so much easier to function? Like after like at like week two or three, I was like, what is happening to me? This is incredible. I was like on top of the world, you know, like I felt amazing. I was eating healthier. Like that, it's just felt incredible. I was sleeping through the night. I was not tired all the time. And just like showing up to work and doing things was just easy, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that definitely planted a seed. And little by little, I ended up doing almost 2 years. It started by wanting to do a full year. And when it came to the 1 year mark, I was like, this is great. I don't want to drink, you know, like it's.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've started Plum Base and built this incredible community, which I don't think I would have been able to do if we were having bottle of wines here and there. And yeah, we went back to Europe this summer, and I had a few glasses of wine here and there, but which makes me a lot stronger in saying right now, alcohol does not serve me at all. I just get so much anxiety afterward. And I feel like now I don't have this urge to drink like I could have had before.
Yeah.
Like I was completely satisfied with just like having a glass of wine and then just, you know, moving on. But yeah, it doesn't bring anything to me, at least.
Yeah. Wow. Two, did you say you did 2 years? That's incredible. That's
pretty close to 2 years. Honestly, I stopped counting because it just became what it is.
Normal.
Like it was not something I was working toward. Like I did the first year and then I was like, okay, this is done.
This is your life now.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great to hear your story, and thank you for sharing, because it's something quite personal. For some reason, drinking alcohol is very personal, and it's a little bit different to eating plants and talking about being vegan. Maybe because it's so normalized, maybe because of culture, and if you don't drink, it kind of changes people's perspective on you as well. But it's good to talk about the nuances, like you said before. Like there's nuances here as well, where it's not a linear journey. And I mean, even for, if I talk about myself or Richard, I mean, Richard was cold turkey, he was done overnight. Shout out to, great job, Richard, that you can do that. But you know, even myself and friends that I've spoken to, it's not necessarily like one and done. It's something that every day you kind of learn and explore what's valuable to you and what's serving you. And that might change every day. That might change every month. But I think
that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay. We're constantly
do you. Evolving.
I think that's something I've learned towards this entire journey as well. It's just like you said, to be nuanced and be accepting of where you are at. And I said, yes, you might not be in the same place in a few weeks' time or in a few months, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would really definitely encourage anybody to, if it's not something you've ever done, to challenge yourself to do a few months, few weeks, whatever works for you. And just really take the time to reflect on how you feel and what it brings to your life. because for me, it was life changing.
Yeah, that's great. And would you have any, since your morning routine is so special and important to you, mm-hmm. would you have any advice relating to sobriety that you'd advise, the listeners that they could take up if they are looking to go sober or sober curious?
I think something that really helped me at first was literature. So with listening, reading books about it, following a few accounts on Instagram that do talk about it, because it's like you said, it's not normalized in a way that it's still a little bit, you still get a bit of you don't drink if you, and it might not be the norm in your friend's circle. So to listen to other people's experience and just to have a little bit more showing up on your feed every day can be quite inspiring. I think the TikTok algorithm is fantastic for that because you can train it to do anything that you want.
Yeah.
So take 10 minutes, look at some girlies podcast account, just go there, interact with them, and they show up on your For You page all the time. And I think that can be quite inspiring. A book I really loved was, oh my God, I can't remember her name. I think it's called Warm Sunshine. Does that ring a bell for you?
Oh, no, it's not.
Warm Sunshine Sober, I think it's called.
Not Catherine Gray's new book, is it? Orange?
Yes.
I've got it on the shelf.
Catherine Gray, yes, exactly.
I haven't read that one yet, but it's on my shelf behind me.
Look, I really loved it because this entire book is about how she's like redefining the term stone cold sober. Mm-hmm. And she's quite ahead in her sobriety journey, I think, when she's writing this one. So it's not about how she became sober. It's about all the wonderful joy that came to her life once she did, and all the fun activities and all the fun things that you get to discover, which I think it can be a little bit daunting in you might just look at what you're losing. And you might not have any clue of what you're gaining because you have not experienced it. And when we're talking about sobriety, there's a huge idea of, I don't know, you're thinking of an old alcoholic man in a dark room. I think this is definitely changing. It's definitely like the scene has changed immensely since like in the past few years. But yes, this book, I think, works really well for that.
Totally. And that's such a good shout out is like, rather than, I think about it like going vegan. When you go vegan, you miss cheese and all I want to do is eat cheese and have a camembert. Well, you look at, okay, what's the new vegan cheese I can have? It's kind of similar, right? You think, okay, well, I'm not going to be hungover on Saturday morning, so I'm going to plan a brunch at 7 a.m. with my friend and then we'll go for a walk. And that's the value that I'll...
And you do this well, Jess, like where you're like always like posting about yourself, like going biking and doing things like in the weekend. I love that.
Thank you so much. It's definitely fun to have that extra time and extra hours back in your day. It's weird, you kind of gain like a week, you're like, oh my God, like what is this world that I never used to know.
So yeah, definitely encourage anybody to at least give it a shot for a few weeks because it's amazing.
What have you got to lose? Yeah, try it, see what happens. You can always go back. You can always change. All right. Well, I guess before we head into the lightning round questions, as we usually do, was there any final shout outs or advice that you would give to the listeners or anything that we haven't spoken about yet today?
If you are listening to this kind of content and you have an interest in either plant-based eating, sobriety, or just changing things a little bit around in your life, just do it.
Just do it. Just try it out.
And
see what happens.
Yeah. And I think something I wish I know is it's not as black and white as we think it is. Like things can be really daunting at first when we haven't experienced them yet. But it becomes so much easier. And yeah, just give it a go. And if you don't like it, go back. Whatever it is you have in your mind, you've been wanting to try, like, to go.
Love that. That's a great piece of advice. All right, lightning round questions. We're going to have a little bit of fun. So there's 6 questions. Feel free to share any stories or anything you want to go into here. Some of them are not sobriety related or vegan related at all. Are you a texter or a caller?
Texter, 100%.
Yeah.
Interesting. I honestly don't even have the sounds on my phone. Like, what about you? Well, you're a podcast host, so maybe you're a caller.
I'm a voice memo. I like voice memos to everybody.
Of course you are.
I'm the person who walks down the street with the phone, like talking to someone, people looking at me like, what is she doing?
Leaving mini podcasts to all your friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What is your guilty pleasure?
So funnily enough, when you say guilty pleasure, most people think about food. I don't have guilt around food. I enjoy healthy eating and then eat whatever I want when I want as well. That's a guilty pleasure. Okay, this is a little bit shameful. There's this like reality TV show I'm a little bit obsessed with. I've watched every single season. It's called Below Deck. And it's about like, do you know?
Yeah. I've seen like, I think 2 or 3 episodes and it's very easy to binge.
But it's not inspiring at all. It's really not inspiring, but it's,
You need it in your life, right? You need to do that to then shine all the other times that you do. Okay. What is one thing that you want to learn or try in the next year?
Great question. I'm not sure. Honestly, at the moment, I'm going for like so many new things on a regular basis. Like it's insane. I guess I would love to finally manage to implement movement on a regular basis in my life. Like that's something I think I could do. I could be better at. I still haven't found that incredible workout that makes me so passionate about going there. So I'm trying a lot of them.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe you should come cycling. Maybe that's, I just read through Bondi this afternoon. So maybe that's your call.
I feel like that's quite a commitment because I need to buy a bike.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I'll rent one. I'll come with you for one day.
Sounds good. Okay, this one is a fill in the blanks. Sobriety is
life changing.
Love it. Did you want to elaborate on that?
That's it.
Yeah, simple. What is a resource that you would recommend to our audience and why? I mean, you've already recommended Catherine Gray's book. Was there any other podcast I think you spoke about? Was there any that you'd recommend in that realm?
Yes, so definitely Fling Ads for anything that's ethical. Simon Hill's The Proof for anything that's science-based regarding the plant-based and is expanded to a lot more to overall health now. So couldn't recommend that more. And if you're looking for healthy recipes, the plant-based page is great.
Definitely save that one. And last one is advice that you would give to 17-year-old Sarah.
It's tricky. That's a tricky one. Because 17 years old Sarah would not listen to 30 years old Sarah.
That's true.
But just take some time to figure out what you like instead of just, you know, going with this social thing and just doing what everybody can, just what you think people are expecting of you. Yeah, just take some time to figure out who you really are.
That's great advice. I love that a lot. It definitely hits home for me too. You kind of just do things.
Yeah.
Right? And, oh, it's cool to do this. I'll just do this. And then you kind of get to your late 20s and 30s and you flip the script a little bit there.
It's like, what do I actually like? Like it's been a long time. I feel like that's something that's great with sobriety as well, is that it gives you the space to explore and find what you really like and who you really are.
Yeah. Oh, a beautiful note to end on. Lastly, but not least, a shameless shout out. Where can our listeners connect with you after this?
So you cut.
Oh, shameless shout out. So where can our listeners connect with you online or anywhere else they can find you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So our main social media is on Instagram. So it's @_plantbased_. And you can also find us on YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, Whisk. We have a website.
Great. Everywhere. And it's plant-based. That's B-A-E-S, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Not plant-based. Yeah, there we go. So like Bays, like Byron Bays.
And we do. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah. Is there a story?
But when I was a little afraid that it will take off when it came out, but it didn't. So we're good, I think.
Yeah.
Amazing. We do. We have a new free resource that's available to download for free in all our socials bio, which is a 10 breakfast recipe ebook. And the carrot cake recipe is in there along with many other delicious recipes. So I highly recommend you give that one a go.
Okay, that's the one I'll be downloading after this as well. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It has been my pleasure speaking
to you
and learning about your story.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess. That was so fun.